Our scripture reading for today is from the Gospel according to Mark, and as you may notice, we are taking a journey through the Gospel of Mark during Lent in terms of what the lectionary gospel passages are. So I'm sharing with you from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles and listen for the word of God to you. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit ascending and descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." May God bless this holy word to us today. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, who has been watching the Olympics? Raise of hand. Some of us, yeah? I love the Winter Olympics especially, and every time the Winter Olympics come around, I realize that, you know, I've forgotten all the varied and diverse sports that there are, all those different forms of skiing, for example. The other night, we were watching freestyle skiing. My heart, I think, skipped a few beats. I thought about these young people and I thought, oh my gosh, they're doing all these twists and turns up in the air. Do their mothers really know? So there's all these forms of skiing and snowboarding. There's all these forms of skating, figure skating, ice dancing, speed skating, right? There's the bobsled, the luge, the skeleton. You know what the skeleton is? The skeleton actually was the name of a sled. It's not that you become a skeleton, I guess, after you do it. Yeah, thank goodness. But you're lying on a sled, you go down this ice track, and the kicker is head first. Pretty scary stuff. I think family sledding on Wachung by the lake. By Wachung Lake is a much better alternative, don't you? So, there's all these winter sports, and I know that you are just sitting there, waiting on the edge of your seat for me to mention a particular one. You're waiting with bated breath. There's that awe-inspiring, breathtaking, bite your lip as you're watching sport. Curling. You knew I was going to say it. You knew. Woohoo! Curling! I love it, I hear. Yay! Thomas is back there. Yay! So Tom and I were watching curling, and I think USA didn't do so well, but it was Thursday evening. And because we were watching curling, I was asking him all these questions about what he knew, and I realized he knew a little bit more than I knew, and I knew very little. So, of course, what do you do? You Google it on your phone while you're sitting there and looking at a TV. And as you know, curling is where they throw this granite stone down an icy place. And all of a sudden, the folks come out kind of from nowhere in the middle of the time the stone is going down the track, and they're sweeping with the brooms right in front of the stone, and they are called this fantastic name, the sweepers, okay? And so the sweepers are doing all of this, and the idea, of course, is to make sure there's less friction for the stone to go and do what it needs to do and keep in that straight line if that's what they're looking for. If they don't do it, apparently the stone will curl. I learned that's where curling comes from. And so I found it really fascinating to think about curling and of all the winter games, I think curling is the one that most people would say, boy, I'd like my life to be like that. I'd like my life to just have smooth sailing in front of me. I'd like for a magic way to take out a metaphorical broom, you know, and work it and work it and work it so that there are no obstacles, so that there are no bumps in the road, so that there aren't even any small hiccups, right? Get from point A to point B without a whole lot of fuss. It seems like a pretty great idea. A really great idea. If you are a stone of granite, that is, right? But we are human beings. We are human beings who are called to live our lives as authentically as possible. We are human beings who have been created so that we will learn and we will grow and we will love and we will navigate with courage all the difficulties that happen to be in our path. That's real, authentic living. That's part and parcel to what it means to be human. And so the fact of the matter is, we know from life experience that it's not the smooth sailing ahead. It's the challenges that help us uncover who we are, that help us figure out what we value, that help us realize who God intends for us to be. It's facing all of that insurmountable stuff, the stuff that could be under a broad category of how will I ever get through this, that kind of stuff. It's doing all of that that helps us know what we truly want out of life and what God wants for us out of life. When we are up against it, whatever that it is, and the it that you're up against, it's unique to you, personal to you, it's your own life that I'm talking about right now. When we are up against it, maybe the it is like, just small frustrations, disappointments, things that we wish were better or more for us. Or maybe they're big things like health issues, like grief issues, like problems with relationships or problems with a marriage. Whatever it is that we are up against, whatever it is, those challenges, what is it that they do for us? That's what I want to talk about today. That's what I really want to center on. When we know our own resources will never get us through what we need to get through, and when we are challenged in ways that maybe make our head spin, And our bodies feel weak, and we don't know if we can even take another step. Often I see actually a miracle take place, and I'm going to call it a miracle because it is a miracle. And I see this happening in my own life time and time again. And I see this happening in the lives of folks in our church, and maybe you can identify with what I am saying. And that miracle consists of the God-given strength inside of us that's been placed inside of us, the God-given greatness, and how that greatness is strengthened consists of that being pulled out and brought forth in ways that would never have happened if we hadn't had to face the rough patches in life. So I want you to think about that today. And I want you to think about whether or not we really would want to magically sweep away all the friction in our path that's ahead of us. Would that really be for our own good? Would that really be for God's good in the world? So in our account for today, in this very brief section of Mark, we have Jesus here going into the wilderness, being led into the wilderness, and we know that wilderness means hard times. That's what we're to equate with that word. Wilderness, hard times. It's always been that way through the biblical witness, and it is very true in our own lives. We face our own times of wilderness. And so here, Jesus is prevailed upon to meet what I would call three super challenges, okay? Super challenges. They're always called the temptations, and that's fine, but we can look at them in a certain way today. We don't have those three super challenges outlined here in Mark, do we? Because it's a very, very brief way of talking about what Jesus confronted. But if you look in Matthew and you look in Luke, you see those delineated for us. So we have to kind of put it together a little bit for ourselves when we look at the Mark version. These are challenges that are calling him to resist. To resist God's claim on him that he personally experienced in his baptism. And so that's why that short section about Jesus' baptism is part of our passage for today. And so the voice of great challenge says, wouldn't it be wonderful to turn stones to bread, to feed all these hungry people, and not only do good, but, you know, make yourself look pretty great in the process? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be the greatest earthly ruler of all the kingdoms of the world and have everyone bow down at your feet? Wouldn't it be the best thing ever to display the evidence of unbelievable power and might and drop down and fly off of this pinnacle and show that you are a super person after all? And we know how the wilderness story ends, don't we? We know how it ends. By facing these threats that could have spelled his undoing, Jesus finds the strength within him, that God-inspired strength, that God planted strength inside of him to deal with these challenges. And the outcome is a clearer sense of his purpose and mission for his ministry. And so I think we can do a certain thing with this account, right? Because through it we are all encouraged to realize our own capacity to face the big challenges in life that we are called to face. And in doing so, to find more strength, more fortitude, more courage than we ever thought possible. Thanks be to God. I think we have to remember that experience is always our greatest teacher. You can have, you know, credentials after your name, degrees listed after your name up to wazoo. You can read an unfathomable number of books. And still, all of that pales in comparison to what God is teaching us through our daily lives. I love what Mark Nepo says. This is the third time I've referred to him recently, but I'm using his book called The Endless Practice as sort of my Lenten discipline and my Lenten journey. I'm reading his book and thinking about what he says. And I love what he says when he says, there's no escaping difficulty, because difficulty is part of being alive. It's how we hold the difficulty that lets us move through it. We're asked to take very small steps to let our experience in and to let it work and shape us. Why? Because often the intimacy of experience is where the simplest teachers present themselves. Often the intimacy of experience is where the simplest teachers present themselves. So we need to ask, when the rough spots come, and they certainly do in life, we need to ask, can we step back, reflect, and ask ourselves, what am I needing to learn from this? What specific form of greatness is being pulled out of me? I want to close with just what I think is a fascinating story about the role of struggle to inform us, as opposed to thinking struggle can defeat and destroy us. And I think it fits with what I've conveyed today, and hopefully for you, it will be something that you can carry with you in your own thoughts, in your own Lenten journey, as you take some quiet time to really reflect on the role of hardship in your own life. This story is actually about the birth of a giraffe. And it comes from the book, A View from the Zoo, by Gary Richman. Talking about giraffes being born. The first thing to emerge are the baby giraffe's front hooves and head. A few minutes later, the little newborn is hurled forth, falls 10 feet, and lands on its back. Within seconds, he rolls to an upright position with his legs tucked under his body, and from this position, he considers the world for the first time and shakes off the last remnants of the birthing fluid from his eyes and ears. The mother giraffe lowers her head long enough to take a quick look. Then she positions herself directly over her calf. She waits about a minute, and then she does the most unreasonable thing. She swings her long leg outward and kicks her baby, so that it is sent sprawling head over heels. And when it doesn't get up, the violent process is repeated over and over again. The struggle to rise is momentous. As the baby calf grows tired, the mother kicks it again to stimulate its efforts. Finally, the calf stands for the first time on wobbly legs. The mother giraffe does the most remarkable thing. She kicks it off its feet again. Why? She wants it to remember how it got up. In the wild, baby giraffes must be able to get up as quickly as possible to stay with the herd where there is safety. Lions, hyenas, leopards, and all predators will enjoy eating young giraffes, and they'd get eaten If the mother didn't teach her calf to get up quickly and get with it. Well, thank goodness there's a huge difference between birthing giraffes and birthing babies. But here's the thing. It's when we are kicked down, we learn to rise by the grace of God. And no one can tell me there isn't a more priceless lesson out there. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, move your spirit through us so that we can know of the greatness and the strength you pour forth inside of us and then you pull out of us. May we rise to meet the challenges in such a way that we learn such priceless lessons, lessons that help us, in fact, walk the path of discipleship in the way you would have us walk. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.